Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Dear listeners, welcome to Nobody Panic, the podcast with me, Stevie, and attached, Tessa. Best wishes, sincerely, Stevie.
Dear Stevie, as per your previous podcast, you did not attach the other guest. Thank you, goodbye, fuck you.
Fuck you. You referred to yourself as a guest on my podcast.
That's good. That's correct.
Very much a co-host. If you're listening for the first time, I don't have a guest on. Very much my co-host.
I'm the guest. Hello, everyone.
And in a way, I'm the guest.
In a way, you're the guest in many ways. Come on in. Please see the attached email chain. This podcast is all about how to write an email.
Because it's just something that you just do a lot and you don't think about it. And I've suddenly realized that there are so many elements of email writing that or getting an email that make me go, oh, when I read it. It's like, we've got to get it out there. Basically, I've got to air my grievances, essentially. Mm. But also some good tips coming your way.
Mm. Stevie's got bringing a lot of emotion to the podcast today, as you can hear.
I've drank a coffee. That's basically all that's happened.
She doesn't drink a lot of coffee, but
she's started,
and I think we'll all be feeling the repercussions of that.
Which actually leads us on to the adult things of the week, because before we go into the sort of subject, the meatiness of the episode, or just the episode in general, we like to exchange the most adult thing we've done that week to make us feel grown up, even though we're absolutely surfing the wave of our 30s, and we're still not running out of adult things, because I don't think we ever will.
Stevie, what's your adult thing?
Bought a keep cup for my new flat white addiction. Yeah, I got flat white addiction because I was saying to someone the other day, oh, I don't really drink coffee, but in the last sort of few months, I've been drinking like one every day. And I've really got into oat milk flat whites because they're the sort of, you know, they're like the most, and they're like strongest. Like, oh, I thought they were, because they don't taste, well, the ones that I get, they don't really taste like coffee. They taste like milky joy. And then when I got one from somewhere else and it was so strong, I felt like I'd taken like everyone's drugs for the day. You know, when everyone takes drugs all day. And anyway, I got a little glass and plastic keep cup thing so I can go flat white in this, please, to help the environment. However, they've not got a little band around it. So when they fill it, the glass gets very hot and I can't hold it. Bit of a flaw.
Right. Should we address the bit where it felt like taking everybody's drugs? Do we feel it's a positive thing for you to be doing?
I can't stop, Tessa.
No, I see that.
Genuinely. And also, what's funny is this has been creeping up for about a few months, but I think I haven't really mentioned it. And now it's all just coming out.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
I think it's heavily connected with in 2000, sort of 2000 to like 2006, seeing like Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, Nicole Richie, always walking around carrying a big coffee and thinking, when I get to the big city, I'll just walk around carrying a big coffee.
Yes.
Never having that because I'm like, oh, I don't really like coffee.
Yeah.
Drinking one, being like, that's not bad. Now I can finally be one of those women. And now I'm on that horse. I'm riding that horse straight to my death.
That horse is galloping, and there ain't no saddle or bridle from what I can see.
Absolutely
this
terrible.
Is chaos. Okay.
Awful to listen to. Awful to listen to.
People What's will be your... like, people will be like, I think I've put my podcast on that 1.5 speed setting. Yes. You're going to have to drop down to the half speed to listen.
Christ. Tessa, here we go. Look.
Okay.
Tessa, hey, what's your adult thing?
Oh, thank you so much, Stevie. The first Quick thing. Okay, my adult thing is firstly to tell you all that we've written a book and you must buy it. It's compulsory. We've got to pay for Stevie's coffee addiction. Come on, we're trying to keep this girl in flat whites. You can pre-order the book. It comes out on November the 4th. And we are having a launch party that day, November the 4th in London. And then we are going off on tour all around the country. So do good. Come and join us.
Also, adult thing we've done this week, we've started recording the audiobook of it. And may I say, I was quite worried about it because I was a bit like, but we do the podcast and then when we're like reading a book, will that just feel really stilted? And it is, I have laughed so much. It's so funny. It's basically a litany of like just sort of interjections. Like it's, but it's like, it's so fun.
Also, Stevie keeps reading lines that she 100% wrote and then being like, wow, why did you write that? And I was like, you wrote it. She was like, I would never have written that. I was like, why do you think I left it in? I thought, wow, what a weird thing Stevie's written, but I respect
There's one point where I say something and then I'm like, what an amazing point. Yeah. And I wrote that. Yeah. It's absolutely terrible. No, it's entertaining. Anyway, I would recommend downloading the pre-ordering. Can you pre-order an audiobook? Do you know? On November 4th, I would recommend getting the audiobook if you don't like holding books because it's a lot of fun. Or get both.
Oh yeah, you could buy it physically just so you can put it on your shelf. But then listen to the audiobook, for God's sake. And then I actually have an adult thing, but maybe I'll save it. No, okay. I won't. Mm. I have bought myself, for my birthday, a Marie Kondo experience.
Holy mother of God.
I flippantly said on my birthday that that's what I wanted more than anything in the world. And then someone was like, all right, and like opened their phone and just Googled Marie Kondo experience. And then they were like, there you go. A woman comes to your house. She goes through the stuff. She does it with you. It's all I've ever wanted. I no doubt will be telling you all about it, but I'm really, really excited.
I feel like we've got to do a bonus episode, which is just like half an hour of you explaining what happened. I honestly think we should do that because that I need more. I'm going to have to know everything about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited.
We best get on with the episode.
Sorry, just flagging. No? Just flagging
Can
that.
Can we circle back?
Just wanted to bump this up and see if you'd seen it, Stevie.
Right, and that actually...
Did you know that it was a episode today and you need to crack on, actually?
That's the...
Just wondering, actually, no worries if not.
I think at the top of the this ep, we should just sort of talk about the don'ts, the things that really bother us personally as email senders and women, and then we can look at like ways, you know, like basically constructing the perfect email, really, which is just like succinct to, I've done it now, succinct to the point, friendly but not over so. None Absolutely. Of this excess business.
Shall we begin with the, you go for it?
No, you've already done it. The nudge email where it's like, sorry, did you see the below? And it's so fine to do that. Well, it depends on the deadline, doesn't it? So if you've asked somebody, like, for example, I used to be a journalist and I'm still on loads of PR lists and I don't know how to get off them because I don't know which ones they are because they just keep clearly just passing my email address to people. So I've tried the whole thing where you kind of put all the emails into spam and stuff so they don't keep coming through and then they just pop up again. It's like whack-a-mole. But the worst thing is they'll invite me to like the launch of a shoe or like the launch of a new patio heater.
I get told about a new hose a lot, the hose lock. They're always telling me about a new hose that's coming out. And truth be told, I do read the email. I don't mind learning about the new hose developments.
Do you realize if you click through, they can see you've opened it and so you will be prioritized for more hose based mail in the
You're
future.
Joking me.
No. So you can't click on it unless you want like that you're now probably on a hose list, which is sounds pretty fun.
That does explain a lot.
It's not only do I not open the email, like okay. I immediately delete it, reported as spam and have never once replied, but then they'll send like three more being like, re the patio heater bonanza, could you pop, like it's like, okay, so that sort of stuff. If you don't know them and you're inviting them to something and they haven't responded, it means they do. No, I get like, maybe 200 of these PR emails a day. Like, I'm not going to reply to all of them, and they know that. And so I find that, however, nudging something that is an important deadline, for example, if, you know, you've been asked to do something and you said yes, and then it's like the day, it's the day of the deadline, and it's like, any word on it? That's fine. But people tend to do it now. And this bothers me so much. They tend to do it. For example, when I used to be, again, a journalist, I would get like an editor being like, sorry, can you send this now? And I'd be like, oh, okay. And then I would, and then they wouldn't reply for like a week because they're on, like, they haven't read it. And you're like, why did you make me, why did you nudge me if you're not going to also read it? So what I would say is think before you nudge, and just think like, do I really need it now? And am I just being a dick? Maybe.
Certainly. I suspect there are two types of emailer, the patio bonanza people. So this like relentless nudging, relentless shouting, that person. And then at the, whether faceless or within the company, of just wanting people immediately and their time instantaneously. And at the other end of the spectrum are people who are like, I do need that, but I don't want to be a bother. So I'll just not. And then they have like endless drafts written out of being like, sorry, just checking on this, no worries, but do need it. And then they don't send it because they think, oh, I won't make a fuss. And it turns out actually everyone has forgotten. It would be helpful if you had nudged. So it's hard to know, isn't it, where you, so I suppose if your life's nudger, nudge a little less. And if your life's not to worry, worry a bit more. Get back in the game.
True.
Right. You ready for my top number one top tip?
Yes.
Here it comes. How to write an email. Don't. That's it. That's the first one. Could you call? Could you call instead? Yes.
No. Yes. Absolutely not, Tessa.
Yes. Yes.
No. If everyone who emailed me called me, I would kill myself. That can't happen. can't happen. I'm putting my foot down.
Yes.
My foot's down.
I'm sorry. That's what I think. If you are on an extremely long and confusing email chain in which nothing is making any sense, could you just call? Could this be a 1-minute call that resolved everything rather than everybody just mindlessly emailing? Call. I'm all about it. Just call.
In those very long email chains where there's like 148 emails and everyone on there, they're all called like Emma, and there's like 12,000 Emmas all going like, Emma, can you do that? Emma, can you, like, who's doing what? And then
just call.
And then you ask, then that might be helpful. But then, I mean, I can already see this is going to be a nightmare of an episode, because then what happens is when someone calls me and gives me loads of information, I also do need it written down because I need to be able to refer back to it.
Sure, so you then, can do a follow-up.
Can you just pop it in an email? And you're like, better call and an email.
I'm sorry, but I stand by it. Because then if the patio people called you, you'd be like, I don't want to come to the patio heater, and please could you not ever ask me again?
I would get 200 calls a day. No, I'm not having that. You don't, no.
Just stand by it.
Send an email, but then call if it's something urgent or it's been very confusing or it feels like things have got lost in the email thread, then that's fine. But if someone just called me to invite me to a patio, that's a cold call. Like I'm not having a day of cold. No. Right. So that your first tip is no.
No, my first tip is fantastic. My first tip is, could this be a 1-minute phone call instead of another as per blah, blah email? I just think so many things get lost. So many people interpret things as passive aggressive. How many times have we opened an email, especially one that's got lots of text in it? It's like, here are all my thoughts. And then be like, oh, fuck me, I'm not reading that. All right, Ernest Hemingway, I'm not reading that, bloody hell.
Very good.
So you don't read that. The ones that are sassy and have like, could you please, like, it's impossible to get your tone across.
Yes.
Listen, once, years ago, I did a large group call. Then there was somebody in the group who used to send up the notes from the call to everyone afterwards. Mm. And he was normally extremely quick and extremely good and always did this. And he was also he was junior to me. Then he had not sent the notes after. And I was like, I really need those notes quite quickly. And I know it's his job and I want to ask him for the notes in the politest way possible. Mm. So I left it a day and then I replied being like, hello, hope you're well. Just checking. By any chance, did you do notes from that call yesterday? To which he replied, you know I did.
Okay, watch your tone there, bucko.
Bucko? And then I just like slid out of my body. Like,
yes. And off
oh
the
my
chair.
God, you know I did. Oh my God. And I just like, I couldn't stop telling people. I just kept reading, showing people the email and everyone was like, you know I did. Ah! And then about, honestly, 3 weeks later, I met him in person. And then he was, and then I was like, oh, by the way, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to say, I'm really sorry about the time I asked you for those notes. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because I meant to say like, you know, I did like that. You know I did. And then he was like, and then I, as soon as I sent it, I thought, I didn't put an exclamation mark. But as I read it back, I thought, is that like, you know I did? If it was an exclamation mark rather than, you know
it I did. It still would have been. It would have been shrill with an exclamation mark.
If it had an exclamation mark, it would have been, you know I did. Like that. And so, you know I did. Like, as in like, girl, here they come. And then he was like, I was mortified. I've been thinking about nothing else for 3 weeks. And I was like, I've been thinking about how you said, you know I did. And then we had to have a hug. My point is, sometimes so much gets lost on these bloody emails that, you know, that, and everyone gets upset about things and people get really take things completely out of context when they're written down that you cannot get your emotions across. And also when you just call somebody, again, not a cold call, just like once things have come confusing, it's like, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call them rather than this be this endless, you know, tangled web of passive aggression.
If you know I did.
Isn't often passive aggression. It's, and also if you were able to be face to face and just deal with those immediately, it wouldn't spiral out of control and you wouldn't be like, I'm not fucking emailing Sharon from accounts one more time because she is a sassy bitch. And then you meet Sharon, you're like, oh my God, you're so nice.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll say it and then I'll see if I believe it. When I was younger, I would read into, so if like an someone would message me being like, we'll check on invoice, T, you know, like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay. Well, I suppose you're not that interested in my invoice. You don't want to pay me or whatever. Whereas now I'm just like, I just presume that everyone's very busy. And so a one-line email doesn't bother me. Mm. And so then I do them. And it's just, it's what I find with emails sometimes is the best emails are the ones that literally are just getting the information across. Yes, of course, not being able to judge the tone or whatever is a reason that maybe talking to someone face to face. And I think if you're in an office, the tendency is to just Slack everything or email if it's a bit more like long or whatever. And you literally never speak to the person. Whereas it's so much nicer to just occasionally go and chat to them. If it's, especially if it's like a sensitive thing or it's something that you want clarity on that would be actually, when you actually think about it, would be helpful to see their facial expressions when they're saying it.
Exactly.
Because we've like cutting out facial expressions of pretty much all work communication. And human beings are meant to read each other's facial expressions while we're talking. Like, we're literally designed to do that. So that's unhelpful. But at the same time, not taking emails personally and just keeping the details that you want to get across rather than trying to, and I think the problem comes, I remember I used to be terrible at emails because I was overthinking it all the time. And I'd be like, I'd spend ages writing like the most simple email, just being like, here's an invoice. Whereas now I literally will just send an article, and if I write an article, and then send an email to the account just being like, invoice attached, that's it. Because you don't need any more, and then offended. We're all quite used to emails now. So it's not like it used to be where it was like, oh God, like it's actually pretty much everybody just sort of gets the information across without having to feel like you've got to kind of do a hot gag, you know, like you don't need to. And it also won't read, which is the other tip, which is that when you get an email from anybody, no matter how like interesting the project is or whatever, and it's incredibly long blocks of prose, like completely unhelpful. Like you've got to be breaking stuff down into like, here's the main bullet points. Here we go. Because yeah. Otherwise, every time, like when the amount of times you're like running for a bus or you're like doing a thing, and then you're like, oh, well, what was that? And then you look at it and you're like, oh God, I've got to read like a short story to get to the information.
Listen, is it information? Yes. Let's get it in clear, succinct bullet points as concise as we can. Is it confusion? C for confusion. Let's call.
Very good. Very right? good.
Is there yes. been a, has there been some crossed, C for crossed wires? C for call. Let's not bother trying to explain yourself on email again. Just call. Just call. Is it, this is the first time you're emailing them and here's just the information they need. Great. I for email.
Love that for you.
That's what, isn't that what email stands for? Information mail. Great. Get it out.
And information mail.
Yes.
Another tip. And I think this is quite radical. Yeah. But I'm coming in strong. I don't, having sent some myself, I honestly don't believe there are many, and maybe you can be like, oh no, there is this and there's this. I don't think there's really any need ever to send a really angry email at somebody, because when you do, you've essentially set it in stone. It can be analyzed, raked over a million times. It just sits in someone's inbox. So it's not like what you've done where you've written it and it's gone and you sent it. What you'll do is you'll go into your sent items and just look at it again and again and be like, oh, maybe that was too strong. Maybe it wasn't strong enough. You'll agonize over it. The person who receives it, like the you know I did person, mm-hmm. that person will just stare at it. And also as well, tone. So if you want to send an angry email, someone once told me, which I thought was great, and I just didn't follow it because I have sent them since then, but I always regret it, is to, if you're really upset with something someone has done and it really bothers you, to call or to go and speak to them face to face. Because if you're not ready to do that, that means you're not actually ready to even send an angry email, because mm-hmm. you've not thought through and worked through your feelings about it and the best way to approach that topic.
That's the thing. And once again, C for cross, C for call. There we go.
C-mail.
C-mail, take away the M, that says call.
Kale them.
Kale them. What you should do is start a Word document on your computer in which you write, Stevie Martin, dear Stevie, fuck you. I blah, blah, blah. Can I just say this has been thing as per blah, blah, blah. And then you write in the Word document and then you leave it fucking there. Okay. If you write it in an email, you might feel better for 1 second and then you will feel instant regret. And then it's there and then they haven't replied and blah, blah, blah. Like if you're not prepared to do it face to face, you should not be writing it down. So put it secretly in your little fake email section for yourself and then call them. And if you're like, I don't want to call them, I hate them or I'm scared of them. It's like, well, then great. You shouldn't be writing them an email, you know? Once again, don't email. That's my reason.
Right, no. Still can email, but just don't send angry emails.
Or emotional emails or confused emails.
One tip that my old agent had to tell me was, she at one point said, I think this was mean because I was very new and very, you know, young.
Green.
It's like, green. She's like, can you please stop writing emails with subject lines like help? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Because it'd be like, I would be like, oh God, I can't send this and I haven't been able to like attach this file and the deadline's happening. So it'd be like, subject line, help. Would you mind giving me some help with this? But she was like, can you please stop doing the help? And at the time I was like, can you please say that nicer? Because I feel a bit sad now. But good tip. So make your subject lines literally relevant. That sounds mad, but like I didn't know that until like I was like 28. So obviously the subject lines have to be relevant and keywords for what you're trying to communicate in the email, so then everyone can find it and no one, and it's not like help in all capitals about something that's not particularly an emergency.
Once again, it's not kooky business. You gotta just I always write mine hello exclamation mark as my subject header, and then I've just got hundreds that say hello exclamation mark. Pointless. What's the point of that? And they're fun to receive from me, I think.
Fun, but also when you're then like, oh cool, let's pick up that thread, you can't.
So the other person can't. Like, it is a communication tool, and you need to be thinking about who it is you are communicating with, and if you are actually getting the thing you need to communicate across, or this is just for you and how you like to do things, or is it for them?
Because it helps you prioritize. It helps other people. You're helping the other person as well prioritize when to deal with your email, because if they have like a million things going on and yours just says hello, they're not going to go top of the list. Whereas if yours says like the urgent thing that you were both talking about, or that particular project, that, and they're like, oh yes, we do need to move that along for Shane, then they will pop that at the top of their list. Whereas hello doesn't really rank in someone's working day, does it really?
No, I think that's a big part of it, is like the emails are so often more about the person sending them than the person receiving them, whereas we need to totally change our outlook on that. Like, I think the fact that we all receive so many spam emails and we're all in a sort of relationship with Lucy from Bloom and Wild, the flower lady.
Oh my God.
Like, yes. She emails me every day, and they're not for me, are they, Lucy? They're for you. They're for you to tick off your quota that you said you had to email this many people every day. I'm sure she's not really a one person called Lucy. And God bless you, Lucy, if you are.
She probably is.
Good luck with your job. But like, they aren't doing, if they really were, if you really were thinking about me, Lucy, you would be like, she only really responds if you offer her free things. And
she doesn't need a daily email about flowers.
She doesn't need a daily email. And she certainly doesn't need this new, like, tell us if you want to opt in to not hear about Father's Day. It's driving us insane. And the point is, you aren't thinking about the receiver. You are thinking about yourself sending them. And I think we just really, really need to be thinking about the receiver. So we've got to be like, what does the other person, can I best get what I need out of this when I send this to the other person? How do they best receive information? How do they best, you know, what does that person need?
I bought a bra recently from a company. And when I bought the bra, the subject line telling me, like, your bra is on the way, was BRB, oh my, OMG, just opening up the Prosecco, and then an emoji of a Prosecco. And I was like, okay, I immediately regret buying this bra from this place, but I'll let it be. It's a bit of fun. And then when I'd received the bra, the email telling me, how was your experience? Could you rate it? The subject line was, and I'm not, this is verbatim, yo, what's the 411, babes?
Il Maquillage messaged me every day to say, I haven't bought their stuff. I have done the quiz. It says, hey, bestie, why you leave us? Why you leave us hanging? Why you not? Hey, bestie, this is still here for you, girl. And I say, thank you, bestie.
Do you reply every time saying, thank you, bestie, best wishes, bestie?
Bestie, best wishes, bestie. You can use a website called unsubscribeme.me, and then it can unsubscribe like en masse. So you just tick, 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 tick. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's an amazing tip. Okay.
Right. Listen, let's keep this concise, as we have told people to do.
Sorry.
Let's just quickly establish, if you are at the other end of the nudging scale and you never ever, you know, and it's always just wondering, can I have this? And so sorry to be a bother, but you haven't paid. Like, if you know, just, you don't have to be so sorry, please could you pay me, just like, haven't been paid for this, many thanks, doesn't need to be, no sorries. I use a Gmail plugin called Just Not Sorry, in which it goes through your email and it underlines every time you put sorry or just or wondering or no worries or too many exclamation marks, and it underlines them and says like, do you really want this?
Yes, very good.
And also I think a lot of us do a lot of exclamation work, and just to show that we're fun and not mean, but you haven't paid, not to worry, like, so I think we can all treat yourself to one exclamation mark per email. Ooh, yes.
Use it as a little softener. If you feel like it's got a bit too abrupt and you sound a little bit too, pop a little exclamation mark in.
If you've wasted it on hello, then you've already used yours up. Sorry.
You wasted it.
I do an X in all of my communication, even with the bank. I don't care. But I understand.
I do an S.
I know you used to do SX.
Which then it auto-corrected to sex. And so then I had to never do it again.
So that was the end of that. So now Stevie is sharp S with her concise.
I feel very powerful about the S because I feel like it's not friendly, but it looks like I'm a woman on the go. It communicates a lot without me having to communicate it, which is just that, like, I'm not fucking about. I'm not writing my full name. I don't have time. So I'm communicating to the other person, don't waste my time, which I think is, I don't want to ever say that to somebody, don't waste my time, because it's incredibly abrupt, rude thing to say, but I also cannot stand my time being wasted. That's putting a lot on the letter S. Too much, arguably. But it's like with anything, it's like when we do, when we've done that episode about work-life balance and boundaries, if you don't set those boundaries yourself, then other people will treat you accordingly. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're sending work WhatsApps outside of working hours, you will receive them. So if you're sending emails that are like rambling or like over the top or just very long or, you know, whatever, then people will be fine doing that back. Whereas if you're quite concise, send the emails that you would like to receive is what I'm saying. In a way, a very biblical message.
Mm, that's really all we can tell you. Send the emails that you yourself would like to receive.
Difficult for you though, because that would be like in the form of a treasure hunt and in like poem form.
No, the answer is no. I wouldn't like that.
Your business on the email, fun in the letter writing.
That's right. I'd rather you called me up and we did treasure hunt in person. But no, I want my emails just to be crisp, clear and under control and simple. And I've never tried the tea, but I'm going to try it.
Also, email signatures. Some people, I find it interesting how some people like don't have them. And it's actually very helpful to have them. So depending on your job, obviously, but like, you know, do make sure they're up to date and also do have the relevant stuff on there, because it's, you know, it is a free, in a way, it's free advertising space for yourself, isn't it? So, but of course people go too far, have like huge photos of themselves and pictures of like trophies. And it's like, don't do it so you people are scrolling down, have to scroll down past your signature for ages, but do have an, like, make sure that it's up to date. I'm saying that mine, I'm just realizing now, isn't.
I think decide if you are in the too much nudging or not enough nudging bracket. If you're too much, rein that in, kid. And if you're not enough, get yourself out there. Put the thing in the signature. Follow things up. Let's get going. You know, your time is just as valuable. And if you're at the other end, do remember that other people have got lives and we don't want to go to the patio heater launch. We're sorry.
I mean, I hope that was a helpful... I hope any emails listening weren't offended by that.
I do too. I think they weren't offended. I think they think, no, I began as an efficient way to communicate and suddenly I've become this thing that people hate. I would love if people loved me again. I would love that.
Tweet Nobody Panic Pod or at Tessa Coates.
Yeah, come and follow us. Come follow us physically to the book launch. We'd love to have pre-order the book or order the audio book.
It's available everywhere. Amazon, Waterstones,
Blackwell's. You can walk into your local bookshop and pre-order it. You can do anything.
Ask your local bookshop to get it in. That'd be a bit, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
And then when it's there, put it in the window, take a picture of it, take it back out of the window again.
Very good.
That's all we want.
Make a window display illegally and then remove all the books from it. That's what I would like you to do. Very good. Yes, and we will be back next week. Please do email us nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com if you have any subjects that you'd like us to tackle. And I'm not going to drink as much coffee between now and then. That's my aim for the week, personally.
Yeah, have a fantastic email. Have a fantastic email.
Have a fantastic email. And send a good week.
And send a good week, guys. And we will see you next time. T. Bye. X.
Oh, S.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.